Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
And welcome to Adventures in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here this evening with Mac Burns with the Clatsop County Historical Society. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's what I was going to say. And I feel badly that we are not with our spouses.
Right now, correct.
We are more dedicated to our vast listening radio audience.
But you know why?
Why?
Because we love them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's love day. Happy heart day.
Do they love us as much?
I don't know. They can't tell us anything on the radio, but we can feel your love.
That's right.
Or something. Don't feel free. You don't need to comment if you don't love us.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
how exciting. Yeah. I don't know that we've ever done a radio show on Valentine's Day before.
I don't think we have. No.
There have been some holidays, but this is a first.
And this is kind of a twofer.
Because
there's another holiday tomorrow.
Tomorrow, President's Day.
Happy President's Day.
So I have a beef with President's Day.
Is it the fact you can't keep your list straight?
Well, no. That's easy, because that's, you know, it's like me. It's evolving all the time.
Okay.
But it used to be just Washington and then just Lincoln in Washington. And now it's President's Day. So is it every president or is it still the big two?
Oh, interesting.
I'm confused. And I don't think it's ever been like 100% clarified.
I don't even remember like celebrating it. I'm sure we did, right?
It's right up there at Flag Day.
Right. There's not a big impact in my mind about this holiday.
See, I can't even, as a kid, I can't remember. Did we have this day off from school?
That's what I have no recollection.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's okay.
But we've got some things for both.
We do.
But yes. Shall we get to the history highlights first?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's see. 399 BC.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't worry. It's not a terrible, terrible, terrible one.
Good, because I promised that we weren't going to do that again.
There's no beheadings or anything like that. Philosopher Socrates is sentenced to death by the city of Athens for corrupting the minds of the youth of the city.
He was early for his time.
Yes. 1799, the first U.S. printed ballots are authorized in Pennsylvania.
Oh, interesting.
1799.
Yeah.
Okay. And nobody seemed to protest it.
Right, yeah.
But I was stunned at how early that is.
That is, yeah.
Printed ballots. I like it. 1898, the USS Maine explodes in Cuba's Havana Harbor, striking off the Spanish-American War. Remember the Maine. I almost made that the history highlight of the day.
But
1936, Adolf Hitler announces the construction of the Volkswagen Beetle. Now, I'm sorry for the Adolf Hitler part of that, but I do love the Beatles,
the original
Beatles.
And that he got to take, well, not credit for it, but he got to do the announcement.
He did, and it was the people's car. But I had a Beetle. I had a 74 red Volkswagen Beetle that I once got 14 people in. It was like a clown car.
Oh, my goodness.
I was working in a summer camp, and I was the only guy with a car. And I became the guy that would drive people to town or those that were of age to the local pub. And I got tired of it. And one time I said, no, I'm only driving in once. So whoever get in the car, that's who I'm driving.
And they made it work.
And we made it work. I couldn't shift. I had to say, putting the clutch in now. And there was an Irish guy sitting in the middle of the two bucket seats that would shift for me.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing. I wish I had video of it. All right, 1965, Canada adopts the maple leaf flag.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. I was going to look up what did they have before? Oh,
I didn't look it up either.
Okay.
I just know that flag. Yeah. It makes me happy. It's just something about it that it's just the big maple leaf.
Yeah. It's very Canada, right?
It is. It is very Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, but our history highlight of the day, and I don't mind if somebody argues with me. I don't mind if you argue with me. I don't mind if the public wants to argue with me of these other things that could have been more important. But I think 1903, the first teddy bear goes on sale. The toy store owner and inventor Morris Mikdum places two stuffed bears in his shop window advertising them as teddy bears. Mikdum had earlier petitioned President Theodore Roosevelt for permission to use his nickname, Teddy. The president agreed, and before long, other toy manufacturers began turning out copies of Mitchum's stuffed bears, which soon became a national childhood institution.
Oh, he wished he'd patented that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Although, do you think everybody would have a teddy bear if he had?
Oh,
if,
I don't.
If it had just been his line?
A little slower.
So.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one. Well, my five-year-old would agree.
I was going to say, do you have teddy bears in your house?
Oh, my goodness. So many. Like, yes. Way too many. There were a couple other ones that I saw. 1798, the first serious fist fight occurs in Congress.
Ooh.
I liked the words there. The first serious one. Yes. Because there were non-serious ones prior to that. 1798.
Okay. There's a lot of violence that we can talk about.
Yes.
The decorum of the Senate and the House of Representatives is not what we would hope that they are.
Our founding fathers weren't as ideal as sometimes we say they are.
No.
Okay. Also, on this day in 1820, well, tomorrow, Susan B. Anthony was born.
How did I miss that one?
I don't know.
That should have been on my
list.
That
was a good one.
I feel badly for that one.
And then the other one, 1954, Matt Groening, the cartoonist.
Oregon's own.
Yes, for The Simpsons, was born. Yeah, in Portland.
Gosh, how did I miss that one,
I know,
too.
That was a good one. And I did look him up. You know, was born in Portland, went to Lincoln High School, then Evergreen State College in Washington, the hippie college. I had a cousin that went there. He loved it. You know, he did the whole basket weaving and everything.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so, you know, The Simpsons, that's very...
See, a lot of people forget that he's an Oregon guy.
Right.
And in fact, one of the wackiest things, one of the, there are three Boy Scout camps, summer camps, and my kid's troop has gone to all three of them. And one of them on the wall in the dining room is Homer Groening, was one of the people that founded that camp.
Oh, how fun.
And that's his dad.
Right. Because all the characters are named after his family.
Yes.
Except for Bart.
And Rhodes and things like that.
Correct. Yeah. And it's Springfield is the city, right? But
supposedly.
But he was Portland. I mean, everything's Portland.
Yes.
Yeah. So. I never watched The Simpsons and didn't care for it. But I mean, sure, iconic show.
But I can't figure out how to officially make it part of the Oregon Film Museum. Because my rule has been if it has to have been filmed in Oregon or created in Oregon.
Oh, well, so. The story was created in Oregon. But that's it.
It's a tough stretch.
Yeah, because he moved to L.A.
But I still feel some ownership.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got something for President's Day first, because it's a little bit shorter piece. So going along with the President's Day was originally just Lincoln and Washington, the number one and number two presidents of all time. And something interesting I stumbled across, you know, Lincoln was assassinated.
I did know. I do remember that from
school.
It
was a terrible performance that he saw at the play. But when he was assassinated, somehow somebody wrote down everything that was in his pockets.
Right. This is great.
So this is what Abraham Lincoln, the guy that saved the Union, is walking around with as the North is on the cusp of defeating the South and our Union is going to be saved. And this is what our president's walking around with in his pockets. First, as you would expect, a brown leather wallet. Wallet is an item that one would most expect to find in someone's pockets at any given time. But there's something conspicuous about the leather wallet found with Lincoln. It was mostly empty. Instead of holding an ID and all the money one would need at the time, Lincoln's wallet contained 8 newspaper clippings and a Confederate $5 bill.
I know, that is very interesting. The clippings are said to have been mostly positive about Lincoln's second election and his Union efforts. There have been much speculation about why Lincoln chose to carry news clippings directly commenting on his presidency. Some people have joked that it's, quote, almost like the 19th century version of checking out what Twitter had to say about the administration. Most believe that given the difficult times the nation was facing during his tenure as president, Lincoln used the clippings as positive affirmation or a confidence boost throughout the day. Because feedback wasn't nearly as accessible as it is today, both good and bad, right? That required choosing select articles and carrying them with him. It may seem strange that a man with such a solid reputation for hope and equality in America now was so self-conscious about his image. But there were many who disagreed with Lincoln's views and efforts. To keep his spirits up while on his path to making a better country, Lincoln was just like any person stuck in adversity, and he needed that support.
See, I don't know if I buy that or not. I mean, I can't think of a better reason why he's carrying around positive articles about himself. The only thing I can think of is maybe to take out and show somebody.
Right.
If they say, you're doing a terrible job. Oh, yeah, well, the St. Louis Dispatch thinks otherwise or something like that.
Did you read this article?
Okay, a Confederate $5 bill. This makes me laugh.
Yeah, this is interesting.
He's not carrying U.S. money. He's carrying the Confederate bill. But I also like that it's the $5 bill.
Okay. Right.
So you're like, I should be on this. As perplexing as the Confederate cash may seem initially, most believe Lincoln received the bill on his last trip to Virginia. With the Civil War coming to a close, Richmond had recently fallen, prompting the president to travel to the area. Clark Evans, the head of reference services in the Rare Book and Special Collections Division of the Library of Congress, speculates the president received the bill as a souvenir for the accomplishment. It's also been joked that the cash was emergency fare if things didn't work out.
$5 is a lot.
That would get you a train ticket somewhere.
Right. I don't think that they would just give it to him. I mean, there's still some value in it, regardless, right? He also had an engraved pair of spectacles held together by string. It's curious the 16th president carried a broken pair of glasses, which appear to be partially repaired with a small piece of string. Lincoln did suffer from strabismus, which is caused by a misalignment of the eyes, making it difficult to see objects close up as well as look others in the eye directly. This visual problem made it crucial that he always had a pair of glasses at the ready to help him see as well as possible.
I like the string. An ivory pocket knife. A pocket knife may seem slightly odd, but it likely had a very practical purpose. It is highly probable the multi-tool knife was used to tighten the often loose legs of his glasses. I think also just, I mean, Old guys carry around little pocket knives.
Right. I mean, you use them for everything, especially then, right?
Exactly.
A reprint of a letter from John Bright to Horace Greeley. This letter from the liberal statesman John Bright to a newspaper editor, Horace Greeley, is full of positive affirmations towards Lincoln. It contained phrases of his, quote, grand simplicity of purpose and his patriotism, which knows no change and which does not falter.
Go west, young man. Horace Greeley. A gold-mounted watch fob. This type of watch fob was common in the 19th century. It attached to a pocket watch and a chain, but only the fob was present in Lincoln's pocket the night he passed. So this makes me postulate something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody stole stuff out of his wallet.
Right. The ID.
There's no cash.
The money.
The money. They stole the watch and just left the fob.
Yes.
I mean, I would hope not, but.
It seems very likely. I mean, I can't imagine that this was a secure scene.
Maybe you and I are solving a crime right now.
Here we go. A cufflink emblazoned with an L, surprise, surprise, an intricately personalized button was also found in his pockets. While not connected to his shirt or jacket, the cufflink displays a large gold L and was clearly carefully crafted. It was potentially sentimental to Lincoln despite not being displayed on his clothing.
A leather glasses case carrying another pair of spectacles. This leather glasses case contained another pair of spectacles Lincoln used on a regular basis, and both the case and the glasses were on his person the night he was shot. It wasn't uncommon for him to carry multiple pairs of glasses, one for reading and one for general sight.
He also had a lens polisher pad. As important as the glasses themselves were to Lincoln's eyesight, the lens cleaner was just as essential for Lincoln. Instead of using a shirt sleeve or a hanky, the cleaner pad was designated specifically to ensure his spectacles were always clear.
Now, see, I learned something on that one because I didn't know. I thought people either used their handkerchief or, you know, the edge of their dress or their sleeve or something like that. I didn't know that there was a specially made thing.
Cleaner pad.
It seems like something modern.
Yes.
All right. And then the last item that was on him, an embroidered linen handkerchief. Also on Lincoln's person that fateful night was a customized linen hanky. A. Lincoln was embroidered on the cloth in red thread.
Nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I stumbled across this, but I like the generic just list of stuff that he was carrying with him.
I know.
It's an odd mix.
It is. He's a normal man with a very stressful job.
Yes. And that's the thing I think people don't quite realize about Lincoln was, you know, he surrounded his cabinet was not all yes men. They were people that actually disagreed with him quite a bit, and he argued with them all the time. And then his wife had issues, and they were both maudlin because they'd lost children. And he felt the Civil War very deeply. So he was kind of a depressed, sad guy a lot.
Mm.
So yeah. It's an odd mix of things, and I like that he had the affirmation in his pockets at least.
Yes, there you go.
Shall we take a little break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Valentine?
That sounds good.
February 13th, 1905. Russian baths. at the bathhouse on Astor Street, which are open both day and night, with separate accommodations for ladies, the best Russian baths in the city can be secured at moderate cost and the best of treatment. Professional rubbers are in attendance, and private rooms for the night can be secured. George Hill, proprietor.
February 2nd, 1907. The charming woman is not necessarily one perfect form and features. Many a plain woman who could never serve as an artist's model possesses those rare qualities that all the world admires. Neatness, clear eyes, clean, smooth skin, and that sprightliness of step and action that accompany good health. A physically weak woman is never attractive, not even to herself. Electric bitters restores weak women, gives strong nerves, bright eyes, smooth, velvety skin, beautiful complexion, guaranteed at Owl and Eagle drugstores for 50 cents.
And welcome back to Adventures in History. I'm Alana Quila here tonight with Mac Burns. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
And same to you. And let's talk about, do you get chocolates for Valentine's Day?
Candy, always, of some sorts. And then, of course, we do like heart-shaped pancakes for breakfast, heart-shaped, you know, hamburgers. I'm trying to think of all the things we've done in the past. I mean, you can make a heart out of anything.
I like the hamburgers.
Yes. Yeah, of course. That's really easy to do.
So we thought we'd share some fun facts about chocolate.
All right. Sounds good.
So we might machine gun these because some are kind of short and sweet. So there might be a lot of back and forth here, like watching a tennis game.
All right. Here we go.
So the scientific name, I shouldn't have taken this one first. The scientific name for the tree that chocolate comes from, Theobroma cacao. How do you think you say that? I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it and making a fool of myself. But it means food of the gods.
The word chocolate comes from the Aztec word, this one's even better, Xocotl, which referred to the bitter, spicy drink the Aztecs made from cocoa beans.
I think you said that right.
I think that's how I'm going to say that word.
Xocotl, Xocotl. That sounds correct. Yeah. I'm impressed by that. All right. You never cease to amaze me. The ancient Maya are believed to be the first people to regularly grow cocoa trees and drink chocolate. Good for them.
Yeah. In Mayan times, the cocoa bean was used as currency as it was considered to be worth more than gold dust. Cultivation of the beans was restricted, so the value of the beans as money would not go down.
The beans were so valuable to early Mesoamericans that they were used as currency, of course. The Aztec emperor Montezuma drank 50 cups of cocoa a day from a golden chalice.
See, there is too much of things. That's too much.
50 a day, yeah. Yeah, maybe 5 a day.
There we go. The smell of chocolate increases theta brain waves, which triggers relaxation.
That explains a lot.
There we go. That and a glass of nice red wine.
Chocolate, that's funny you say that because we're going to hit something about that in a minute. Chocolate has over 600 flavor compounds, while red wine has 200.
Ooh. Reason to taste test both. And it takes approximately 400 cocoa beans to make 1 pound of chocolate.
That seems a lot.
Yes.
Have you ever gone on a chocolate factory tour? There's one in Portland I went to with Renee a number of years ago. It was very interesting.
Is it the one over by the airport?
I can't remember where it was.
Yeah, I did go to one over there in Gresham area. That was it was interesting.
It was in downtown Portland.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it was
neat.
It was some like small chocolate company.
Oh, how
but
fun.
It was very fascinating. Okay, candy bars generally have less than 10 milligrams of caffeine, but the darker the chocolate, the higher the caffeine content. No wonder I like dark chocolate.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Each cocoa tree produces approximately 2,500 beans. And because those trees are so delicate, farmers lose on average 30% of their crop each year.
That seems terrible.
Yeah.
Chocolate comes from a fruit tree. It's made from a seed. So we're eating fruit when we eat chocolate.
It's
healthy.
This is great. News for the day. There's an estimated 1.5 million cocoa farms in West Africa. Most cocoa, 70%, does hail from that region. And the average size of the farm is 7 to 10 acres. It's frequently raised by hand on these small family-owned farms.
Cocoa leaves can move 90 degrees from horizontal to vertical to get sun and to protect younger leaves.
Ooh, a smart tree.
I like a plant that's smart like that. Yeah. I'm impressed by that. Like the Venus flytrap, I'm impressed by too. So just the fact that it's that smart, or like big giant sunflowers that follow the sun as well.
Easy, yes.
I'm impressed by plants like
that. A farmer does have to wait, though, 4 to 5 years for a tree to produce its first beans. And then it takes 2 to 4 days to make a single serving chocolate bar.
Wow. And the cocoa trees, they live for about 200 years, but most give marketable cocoa beans for only the first 25 years. Yeah. Well, then why are they still around after that?
Interesting.
I mean, if I'm a farmer and I'm only getting 25 years and then it stops producing, I chop the tree down and put a new one in.
Yeah.
It seems odd.
That's an interesting fact there.
What good is it after the...
It says some. It does take, I said these ones. So chocolate contains 2 doses of cocoa butter, the natural amount from the bean, plus an extra dollop to bump up the creaminess.
In 1874, Daniel Peter made a breakthrough and created milk chocolate. He used condensed milk to get the taste and texture he wanted. Since then, the love for it has spread worldwide, way beyond Switzerland.
And according to the International Cocoa Organization, Europeans account for almost half of the world's chocolate consumption. They estimate the average Brit, Swiss, or German eat about 24 pounds of chocolate a year.
See, that sounds like a lot.
It does. 24 pounds.
I'm like, okay, what's a candy bar? I mean, how many candy bars would you need to get a pound?
A lot.
It just seems like that. Yeah, that's.
I think that this sort of begs the question, though: are they happier? Because if so, then you know.
Well, they're very relaxed.
Maybe we need to add more pounds of chocolate to our life.
The English chocolate company Cadbury made the first chocolate bar in the world in 1842.
Wow. The inventor of the chocolate chip cookie sold the idea to Nestle Toll House and in return for a lifetime supply of chocolate. I like that.
I don't know if that's a good deal or not.
Yeah, kind of depends when.
They probably didn't think it was worth that much.
Right.
M&Ms were created in 1941 as a means for soldiers to enjoy chocolate without it melting, because it melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Oh, I love that.
I went to a college in Pennsylvania, and the college campus was in between the M&M Mars Factory, or N M&M Mars Factory, and on the other side, a really big dairy farm. So depending on which way the wind was blowing, it would either smell like cow manure or it would smell like really sweet chocolate.
Oh, wow.
It was astounding, the differences in that sense.
Yeah.
Perception.
And all on a farm, yeah. Nutella was invented during World War II when an Italian pastry maker mixed hazelnuts into chocolate to extend his cocoa supply.
Okay, we got to ask right now, thumbs up or thumbs down to...
Nutella, I never got into it, but it is delicious.
Wow. See, I think most people are either very passionate about it, like, yes, I love it, can't get enough, or, ew, just doesn't do anything for me. I'm an ew, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. I think, too, now I don't know that it's all just hazelnuts and chocolate anymore either.
Milky Way candy bars are not named after the galaxy. The name came from the malted milkshakes, whose flavor they originally intended to mimic.
Now, I like Milky Way bars. Those are good. Three Musketeers bars were originally 3 pieces, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. They switched to just 1 bar after strawberry prices increased.
I'm kind of intrigued by that.
That is interesting.
I like the idea that it was 3 different pieces, and I like the mixture of those flavors.
Yeah.
I think they should go back to that. Yeah. I would
throwback.
I would buy one.
Would you throw back everything else?
Chocolate is the only edible substance to melt around 32 degrees Celsius or 90 degrees Fahrenheit, just below human body temperature. That's why chocolate really does melt in your mouth.
Oh. Known as the world's most expensive chocolate bar, the Wispa gold-wrapped bar is offered by Cadbury. It was designed as a marketing campaign to relaunch their brand of caramel chocolate bars, Wispa Gold. But this expensive version is actually wrapped in an edible gold leaf. It only cost $1,430 per bar.
See, I'm not into that. Not even if I was unbelievably wealthy and that money was nothing. That just seems kind of stupid to me.
Well, and you're not paying for the chocolate. You're paying for the gold that you're going to put in your mouth.
Yeah, that just, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous.
Silly.
In 2013, Belgium issued a limited edition of chocolate-flavored stamps.
Now that sounds nice. We don't even lick stamps anymore.
I miss licking stamps.
Ugh, I do not. There is a rare 4th kind of chocolate in addition to the classic milk, dark, and white varieties, and it's blonde chocolate. White chocolate isn't technically chocolate as it contains no cocoa, solids, or cocoa liqueur. White chocolate contains cocoa butter instead. Interesting.
And eating dark chocolate every day reduces the risk of heart disease by 1/3.
Along with that red wine, I'm telling you.
It's unbelievably healthy. You heard it here on Adventure in History.
Dark chocolate. Also, or did you just read this one? May improve blood flow or lower blood pressure. Goes right along with it.
That goes along with heart disease.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I should have let you read this next one too. Theobromine.
Sure.
The compound in chocolate that makes it poisonous to dogs. It can kill a human as well. A lethal dose of chocolate for a human being is about 22 pounds.
Well, thank goodness. I mean, you know, and...
Well, that's why I stop at 20 pounds of chocolate.
Brit, Swiss, and Germans eat 24 a year, but I guess in one sitting.
In one sitting. That's why I say I stop at 20 pounds in one sitting.
There you go. Contrary to popular belief, mice actually prefer chocolate over cheese every time. Mice love sweet-smelling food, so they would be more tempted by a piece of chocolate than a chunk of cheddar.
Okay, so do you think that the whole stereotype of mice being put into mazes is true, or is that just like something silly? And if it's true, are they using chocolate? You would think they would have discovered this then, instead of cheese.
Cheese.
And mousetraps. How come we're not putting chocolate in mousetraps?
Well, maybe they are. Are you putting mousetraps out?
Well, every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Well, now you know.
Although we've gone to the safe ones where we can release them somewhere else.
Oh, there you go.
Instead of the old snapper.
Ugh. The film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was financed by Quaker Oats to promote its new Wonka bar candy. This is also why the film is called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory instead of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the book it's based on.
I've always wondered that, because I never read the book, but my brother did, so it was in our house. And then the movie, I was always like, wait, that's not the same title.
Right.
Is it like a sequel? Is it something else? Is there something different here? Now I know. And now you know. Benjamin Franklin sold chocolate in his print shop in Philadelphia.
Well, there you go. German chocolate cake was named for Sam German, who developed a sweet bar for Baker's Chocolate, and he was not from Germany.
Okay, that's my favorite one of all these, I think.
The Baker?
Because I always assumed.
Oh, the...
German chocolate.
Sure. Well, that is interesting, yeah.
That just makes me laugh. Okay, the French celebrate April Fool's Day with chocolate-shaped fish, or Poisson de Verrel. Napoleon loved chocolate and demanded it to be available at all times, including during military campaigns.
Oh, there you go. Winston Churchill at one point was in danger of a Nazi assassination by an exploding bar of chocolate. That begs the rest of the story.
There does seem like there should be more to that story.
Yes.
Although one of my favorite things is the whole list of our attempts to assassinate Fidel Castro. The list of the things that they did, including a exploding cigar, are just very funny to me.
That didn't work.
Might try an exploding bar of chocolate. And I'll let you have the last one.
Champagne and sparkling wines are too acidic to pair well with milk or dark chocolate. Try pairing a sweet bubbly with white chocolate and red wine with dark. In general, you want to match the sweetness level of the wine with the sweetness level of the chocolate.
So we should have a wine steward and a chocolate steward
I love
working
it.
Together.
Oh.
And we should have put a warning out so that people could be enjoying wine and chocolate right now.
Well, maybe on social media, where we always sort of tease what the topic is going to be. We can talk about that a little bit.
That's a good idea.
You know, on Valentine's Day, my husband proposed to me.
Really?
And I'm not going to be able to do the math this fast. 15 years ago.
We won't put you on the spot.
in Mexico, at sunset, on the beach. It was gorgeous. So when you say, you know, do I get chocolate on Valentine's Day? Well, he realized he never had to do anything ever again because how do you top?
You can't top that.
Top that. I mean.
Wow. Have you ever been back to that beach?
We have not.
Wow. Well,
two children later and yeah.
Maybe someday.
Sounds like it. But it also just, you know, take sleeping in.
So happy Valentine's Day to Alana and to the vast listening audience. And happy President's Day tomorrow. And thanks for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.